Gotcha. Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Neville. I don't know how I'm going to get on without Chris, working with Chris. Computers. I might get old and grey or something like that. Psalm 103 was the very first psalm that I ever had anything to do with and learned. The reason was simple. My uncle offered me 10 bob to learn it. And he said, if you learn the psalm, I will give you 10 shillings. Now, I didn't want to learn the psalm, but I did want the 10 shillings. So I learnt it all off by heart. I remember he used to sort of question me once a week whether or not I had in actual fact learnt it, and I learnt it right through to the end, got the 10 bob, and then promptly said about forgetting it, but in actual fact I didn't forget it very much at all. So Psalm 103 says this. I'm going to read it all because it's much more important that we listen to the psalm than listen to me. Oh, you will take that down, actually. I'll reverse that, and I'll get out of that. Where is the mouse? Right, I'll go to there. It says this, bless the Lord, O my soul. And, or can we get that up there, guys? Is it at the same time? Is this a technical nightmare I've created? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. This is all good news, actually, isn't it? Have you noticed that? We're cheered up already, aren't we? Really? We only read 5 verses. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins or rewarded us according to our iniquities, but as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You might take the time to mathematically work out how far the east is from the west during the rest of this sermon if you get bored with it. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He's mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes, and when the wind has passed over it, it isn't there anymore, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Somebody might like to work out mathematically how far from everlasting to everlasting is. So, his loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Boy, that's good news, isn't it? to those who keep his covenant and who remember his precepts to do them. And then the psalm finishes up like this: the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, it's perfectly obvious to all of us that we could be here for the next 3 or 4 days exploring what this psalm says. And I'm going to just take 10 minutes and no longer, I hope, and somebody can prod me. Joan, you'd be pretty good at that. And tell me when I've sort of gone too far down the road. Firstly, let's talk about this word bless and what it means. Because what the psalm says to us is that we as Christians should be doing something. And it is a personal talking of David to himself. He's talking to himself. What I should do is I should bless the Lord. And so I imagine that what we should think from that is that we too should bless the Lord. That we should bless the Lord. Now, what does bless mean is the very interesting thing, because it's obviously different than worship. Otherwise, we'd say worship, wouldn't we? So it says, bless the Lord. If we look in the dictionary, find a whole lot of very confusing concepts. But one of them, I think, is valuable. Firstly, it says, bless to call someone holy. And obviously, that's used in quite a secular sense in many ways, or to praise a person. But the one that appeals to me is this one here. When we are attempting to make our boss happy with us by doing good things for our boss, we are, according to this definition, blessing the boss. We are blessing him with our employment and with our presence. And I've got no doubt that my boss sits down at night and thinks, my word, what a good job Bernie came along today. How wonderful, and I am blessed with Bernie's presence. And that's the way we can perhaps think about it. What we want to do is to make the Lord happy. And as Michael often tells us, that what we do here in the morning is to get a smile on the face. Michael, that's what you tell me, of the Lord, isn't it? And to make the Lord happy. And so as a child, from time to time, we attempted, very infrequently on my part, but to make our parents happy with us. And in a way, that's what it sort of says. I bless the Lord. I make him happy that we have this relationship. Make him happy for the things that he has done for me. And I need to make them happy in my soul. Now, when we talk about the soul, we're really talking about something that is very difficult to define. The Old Testament is full of the word. There is literally hundreds of mentions of the soul. But I asked George yesterday, and he said it was the depths of your innermost being. I think it was something like that. And I think that that's a pretty good. It's more than just a token gesture he wants from us. It's not a ritual. It's not something that we do of right. He wants us from our innermost being to bless him and make him happy. When somebody longs inside for something better, and you people come and they say to you, oh, look, there must be something. And often that is what we call a cry from the heart or a cry from the soul. What the Lord wants is to get down to the depths of our innermost being and bless him. David used it many times, didn't he? The Lord restoreth my soul in Psalm 23. My soul waits for the Lord in Psalm 62. We're to bless the Lord and make him happy with all our inner being. Now then, I wish to tell you about very quickly the structure of the psalm, and I'd like to do it in somewhat academic terms. Incidentally, I can hardly see you. I've got two pairs of glasses here today. I broke my glasses, and the other ones that I broke sort of had the long and short distance combined. So I'm short so I can read the computer, but you are all a blur. I hope you're enjoying this. I've got no idea whether you are or not. Fortunately, $799 later, I can get a new pair of glasses. That's wonderful, isn't it? If you went to Otago University or Auckland University or Yale or Harvard or Yarvard or one of those and studied marketing, something I sincerely hope nobody here would ever want to do, but if you did, then you would learn that a product contains three specific elements that you are able to identify, every product. And they are called, in layman's terms, features, benefits, and credentials. And features are the technical specifications that create the benefits, whereas benefits are the things that we buy, and they are the things that the product does for you. Sorry about the semantics. And when I find the finger that made that mistake, there'll be trouble later on. And credentials are the ability of the promoter of the product to keep the promises they've made. Okay, we understand that. So putting it simply, if you buy a pair of shoes, you buy them because of the benefits. They're going to keep out the water, so your feet are not going to get wet, so you're not going to get pneumonia and die. Right? You are going to wear your shoes on the beach at Sandy Point, otherwise you will get beer bottles through your feet. Okay? We get the idea. I am going to buy shoes that are pointed at the front and got very long heels because it's cool and all the film stars are wearing those, and so I'm going to wear them as well. That's the reason that I'm going to buy these shoes. And I'm going to wear them with my dress to the wedding so that I will look really great and they will go along with my husband as an accessory. And so we understand that we buy the benefits of the shoe, but to understand what provides that benefit is that these shoes may be made of leather, so they last a long time. And they may have thick soles, so they stop things going through them. It is the technical specifications that creates the benefits that we buy. And if we continue to buy them from the warehouse, we discover that the credentials or the ability of the promoter to keep the promises made is often not as good as what we might have thought it would have been when we paid at the beginning. Now, this is a psalm of these things. It's a psalm of features and benefits and credentials. And there are five benefits I'm going through very quickly. Here are the benefits. I should bless the Lord, number one, because he forgives all my iniquities. Now, here is today's intelligence test. Which of my iniquities does he forgive? Do you want to put your hand up, Noel? Your hand up. Which does he forgive? Right, all of them. John, give Noel a crunchy bar, please. All of them. which means that there's none which are not forgiven. That's good news this morning. We can stop here, and that's done that, really. He forgives. And David wrote this approximately 350 years before Isaiah wrote his psalm. David was, in a way, different to us. He looked forward to a time when God would do something special. He would do something about the sin of mankind. Today, we look back to that cross that Doug spoke about this morning. David looked forward, and Isaiah looked forward when he said, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, and interestingly enough, by his stripes we are healed." Because benefit too is that he heals all our diseases. Now, George and Phil and I had a talk about it in Phil's van yesterday morning, because we got locked out of here, so we had our meeting in the van. And I had to confess, and I do confess, that there is a mystery here that I don't understand, because all our diseases are not healed. Christians die of diseases. So I wonder exactly what that means. But let me say this, and I can't, I'm not going to give you an explanation for the mystery of the healing of all the diseases. But let me say this, that the Bible clearly says there is a time to be born and a time to die. There is a time appointed unto man, which tells me, which implies that we are not working from blind chance. We are, the options are divine providence or blind chance. And to say that there is a time to be born and a time to die precludes blind chance. And in a way, David is doing what the scriptures always do. They say to us Christians, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. There is something better and higher and greater going on here all the time that you and I do not understand. And David, in a way, is affirming what Paul said. He said that all things work together for good to those that love God according to his great purpose. And his purpose is greater than ours, and I leave it at that. The benefit is, heals the disease. Now, Evan's story, thank you, Evan, was right on it. Why should I pray for somebody who is sick? And the answer is because the Lord is in charge of the diseases. The Lord is in control. And that is very comforting this morning, is it? Yes, yes it is. He redeems your life from destruction. I have bought a fluoro, well, I didn't buy it, I got it from a student. It was a fluoro vest. Somebody might have seen me in it. It's bright yellow. And I wear it on my motorcycle. And the reason I do that is to redeem my life from destruction. Because one thing, on a motorcycle, people, they normally, what they do is knock you over and kill you, and then when the police come along, they say, "I didn't see him." All right? Some say, "Oh, well, I'm doing a social good to knock over motorcycles." But many just say, "Look, I didn't see him." And so I have done. Well, obviously, there's more than one thing going on here, isn't it? There's two ways that he redeems my life from the pit. Today, he holds my life in the palm of his hand. Secondly, he saves me from eternal death. When I'm saved, what am I saved from? I'm saved from eternal death and eternal separation from God. I am saved from the pit. I am saved from hell. That's what it means. He has redeemed and brought us back. Isn't that wonderful? He has redeemed. If you took your watch into the pawn shop because you didn't have any money and you needed a few bob to pay some of your debtors back, then you would go into the pawn. I've never done this, so I'm just imagining this is what happens. You take your watch into the pawn shop, and Big Keith there in the pawn shop will say, well, okay, that watch is worth 50 bucks. So he keeps your watch, and you get 50 bucks. But when you have saved up 50 bucks, what you do is you go back and see him and say, look, here is 50 bucks. It's probably 60 by now, but here is the money. I want my watch back. And the word we used is redeem the watch. And the Lord Jesus did exactly that for us. Exactly. When we were sold to the slavery of Satan and all his forces and powers, the Lord Jesus paid the price and bought us back. And so my soul is redeemed from destruction. And he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. I've said before, I love this word, compassion. The Lord had compassion. I think one thing I might try and do as a New Year resolution is learn to have more compassion. He loves us. He crowns us. He puts us in a kingly role. He puts us on the throne as being a special person with his steadfast love and mercy. Ongoing, permanent, always available, unconditional love, mercy, compassion, and understanding. Our students who come to me say, nobody understands me. So we'll join the club. Join the club. Nobody understands anybody, really. You can put two people in the same house for many years, and at the end of the time, all they discover, they don't understand each other. I'm not going to go there this morning. And so it's better just to love the other person, not try and understand them, isn't it, in a way? He's not the man I married. So I'm not going any further along this road, John.
Perhaps you should change your glasses.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea. I need the rose-tinted ones. And so nobody understands. The Lord understands you. Look, when we, in the features, and I've obviously gone too far, I'm not going to go through them, but if we have a look quickly at the features, we'll discover it says, he knows your frame. Better than your doctor, better than your wife or your children, he knows you. He knows your frame. Isn't that wonderful? In so doing, he can do these things for satisfies your years with good things, even though we may not recognize them. They are good things all your life long. This is pretty good, isn't it, Chris? I'm glad I'm a Christian, Chris. You? Yeah, because all these benefits. This is a great product, isn't it? And very quickly, the features. The Lord performs righteous deeds for all who are oppressed. Who, Noel? All who are oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger, in which case he is different than me. He is not the same as me. I am quite quick to anger at times. He is slow to anger. He will not always fight with us, although his spirit will strive with you in an attempt to change the way we are going. He will not be angry forever. He has not dealt with us according to the way we deserve. His loving kindness is high as the heavens. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions from us. Now the machine's blowing up. All right. So here's the credentials. So those are the features. I'm sorry I've gone through this, been long-winded than the times I should have been short-winded, and short-winded than the times I should have been long-winded. What will I do now? Pardon? F5? Oh, that's... Thank you. Thank you. Oh, no, we've got the whole lot here, haven't we? All right. So, I want to go back. The last thing is these credentials. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go down to there. If I ever bought a car that was as reliable as this thing, which is what I kept telling Chris, well, I'm going to go it this way. Benefits, features that create the benefits, credential. So these promises have been made to us this morning. The question is, how good are they? And the answer is that the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his promises are as good as that. If you want to know how reliable I am, have a look at the way I have set my life up. Can you repay the amount, huge amount that you owe me, Peter, is the question? And you say, well, okay, have a look at all of that. Our cherry harvest was enormous this year. So I look at your credentials. The Lord has said, I have established my throne in the heaven. He rules over all. His mighty angels perform his words with strength and total obedience. And all of his works, all of his hosts and all of his works bless him in all places. And one day, every knee will bow. Even those people who write and say nasty things about us in the newspaper, Evan, one day, every knee will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. Psalm 103, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for the hope that you give us and the joy that you give us at the start of a new year as we read these wonderful words concerning you. We thank you for the wonderful benefits that you have given us through the Lord Jesus. And we pray this morning that we may find it in our beings, our innermost recesses, to bless you continuously. In Jesus' name, amen.